News. I'm Sherry Preston. Secretary of State Marco Rubio in Israel meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who says of the recent attack on Hamas in Qatar,
"We assume full responsibility for it because we believe the terrorists should not be given a haven."
As for U.S. involvement, Rubio says he's hoping, despite the attack in Doha, that Qatar will continue to help with a ceasefire.
"We are focused on what happens now. What happens next? What role can Qatar play possibly in reaching an outcome here that leads not just to the end of this hostilities, not just to the release of all of the hostages, both living and deceased, not just the disarmament and elimination of Hamas, but also a better future for the people of Gaza."
The suspected gunman in the killing of Charlie Kirk, 22-year-old Tyler Robinson, is said to be not cooperating with officials, even though his family and friends are. He's not believed to have confessed. Last night, there was a vigil held at the Kennedy Center in honor of Kirk. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, filling in for James Kelly. As officials consider rate hikes, residents are upset that their power may get more expensive. Xcel Energy is asking the Wisconsin Public Service Commission to approve increases. Electricity would go up by almost 12% next year, and natural gas would go up by almost 13%. Now, this is a two-year plan, so there would be further rate hikes the next year. Under Xcel's request, by 2027, electricity would cost 19% more than it does now, and natural gas would cost more than 14% more. Xcel leaders say it would cost the average customer an extra 61 cents per day for electricity and an extra 31 cents per day for natural gas. Well, that's got residents frustrated. One person told WQOW that nobody's wages have gone up 19 or 14%, and it'll be tough for some to afford the rate hikes. Xcel kept rates flat in 2025 and reported nearly $2 billion in earnings last year. Xcel leaders told WQOW that extra money will be used for upgrades and moving to more sustainable practices. They're planning to replace more than 11,000 electricity poles alone. The Wisconsin Public Service Commission will decide whether or not to approve those rate hikes later this year. Meanwhile, the race for governor will not feature a competition between Milwaukee's county executive and Milwaukee's mayor. Stuart J. Wattles reports.
Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson announced he's endorsing Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley in the Democratic primary for governor. Johnson praised Crawley, saying he had a record of delivering results, pointing to their work together on shared revenue agreements. Johnson said Crawley's experience in both the legislature and as a county executive shows he can unite people and get things done.
That's reporting from Stuart J. Wattles, and I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, filling in for James Kelly. You're listening to Civic Media News.
Another Brewer injury. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers clinched a playoff spot over the weekend, but lost to the Cards yesterday 3-2. Pitcher Jose Quintana giving up three runs in the second. Pat Murphy says Quintana was dealing with an injury.
Jose leaving with a calf injury is, you know, that's alarming with how injured we already are in the bullpen and on the mound.
The Brewers have the night off before playing the Angels tomorrow night. A report says the Brewers could be playing the Braves in the Little League Classic in Pennsylvania next year in August. MLB says an announcement coming soon. NFL. After having the weekend off, the Packers head to Cleveland this week to play the Browns. College football. Badgers to host the Maryland Terrapins on Saturday. They lost in Alabama 38-14.
We knew we had to come out here in the first half in particular and play solid, play poised, play confident. That's exactly opposite of what we did.
That's Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We may catch an isolated shower or thunderstorm later this morning or early this afternoon. Otherwise, partly cloudy today with a high in the mid-80s. The wind out of the southeast gusting to around 15 to 20. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms, then mostly cloudy, mid to upper 60s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny in the mid-80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 64.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
T. Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, WGBW afternoon host and actor Eric Westfall joins in studio. Then Mental Health Warrior Film Festival founder Max Blaska joins. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with P. Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitler, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitler.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Monday morning, September 15th, 2025. Joined as always on Mondays by Dr. Kristen Lyerly and by Up North News reporter Selena Heller. Selena will tell us in just a couple of minutes about an unusual, more colorful, not your typical protest that took place in the Chippewa Valley last week. That's on the way. Brittany should be back tomorrow to give us all the weather news, but you, of course, can catch the forecast throughout the day on your local Civic Media station. But in the meantime, Rob doesn't take a day off out in Tigerton, where he says, good morning, it's fair and 54 degrees. It was really a very beautiful weekend. Saturday had a mowing job and went to the Tigerton Lions Club steak fry. It was excellent with great steak. Sunday, watched some football. Then took around the countryside, seeing the changing colors of the leaves, and took some pictures for my social media and for my friends. We are definitely getting to that time of year with the leaves are like right there, just about to pop, depending on what part of the state you're in.
Mm-hmm. I posted one of Rob's pictures. They are absolutely beautiful. And Rob also sent me an article about some disability benefits that are in danger right now because of the Trump administration. So I'll be making a little TikTok video about that later today. Thank you, Rob.
You have been a TikTok machine recently.
Well, there's a lot of information that people need to know, and it's great to be able to put it into a bite-sized, you know, clump. Yep. And let people have a conversation about it.
I wouldn't call your videos a clump. They're very nice. Rob also notes last night I saw the Northern Lights.
I was going to say that. Yeah, Northern Lights were out last night. A lot of Wisconsin, it seems.
Yeah, I saw one picture. I'm sure by now social media is full of them, but very early this morning, somebody put one up. And I was like, wow, is that what they looked like last night? So that's great. Some people got a very nice view. I'll be looking at that. In the history section, I neglected to mention today is National Google Day, because that's when they claimed the domain this day in 1997. It is World Engineers Day, and it's Double Cheeseburger Day. Oh. And it is the start of Hispanic Heritage Month. And if people go, well, wait, it's the middle of the month. Well, yeah, Hispanic Heritage Month runs from September 15th to October 15th, because several countries today mark September 15th as their Independence Day, including Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, all declaring independence from Spain on this particular day. So, yes, again, happy Hispanic Heritage Month, folks. Double cheeseburger, I don't know, might be a bit much for me. I'm more of a sliders guy, you know.
Oh, really? I do love a good double cheeseburger. Maxi Burger from Dick's Drive-In in Kakana any day.
We did, after we did the fall festival, we headed up to Amber Inn up at the top of the hill there in Eau Claire, above the old Uniroyal factory. It's just some of the best burger ever, you know, on a griddle that I'm convinced dates back to the Warren Harding administration. And shall we say,
maybe it hasn't.
Yeah, right. It's properly seasoned. So, yeah, shall we say.
That's where it gets its special flavor.
That's right. So, well, while we're talking about things in Eau Claire, actually, before, Selena, we get to the Eau Claire story, I do want to mention the other news from this morning. State Senator Kelda Roy is announcing that she is jumping into the governor's race, making her candidacy official today. So I'm sure we'll be talking to her a lot in the coming 11 months between now and the primary election. And Kristen, you saw Kelda recently.
Yeah, I got to spend some time with Kelda. Actually, she gave me and the president of ACOG, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, and the chair of the OBGYN department down at UW-Madison and a bunch of students and residents a little tour of the Capitol during our big meeting over the weekend. You know, Senator Royce has been a huge champion for women's health and abortion rights for a very long time. So I'm really excited to see what she brings to the table as a candidate for governor.
Yes, she gets in a race that also includes Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley and Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. With Sarah Rodriguez running for governor, that opens up that spot. And so you've got Sarah Godlewski, the current Secretary of State, now running for Lieutenant Governor, which means there's an opening for Secretary of State. And in that post, you have Milwaukee Common Council member and former legislator Jocasta Zamarripa running for Wisconsin Secretary of State. And Jocasta Zamarripa will be our guest here live just over an hour from now. So a lot to cover just today alone on the things that are going on. Selena, you were covering a recent protest in Eau Claire about budget cuts. And it wasn't your typical, you know, just carry some signs and, you know, chant some things, which is fine. I mean, everybody should be able to protest something they feel strongly about. But if you can add a little splash of color or character, especially the characters, well, that's what you'd find in Eau Claire last week, right?
Yep. Wizard of Oz themed it was, because they called it Toto, we're not in America anymore.
It definitely feels that way to some folks. And so and people got into the theme, didn't they?
Well, yes, they were wearing lion costumes and Dorothy's and witches and even houses. They had to spend a lot of time on these costumes.
These were very creative. My favorite was somebody put their little dog in a basket, you know, like Toto, and the sign around the basket said, "Nobody's coming to eat me." You know, thinking back to Trump going, "They're eating the dogs."
Yep.
Yes, I did see one person dressed as a house. They basically built a house costume around themselves. Is that who you talked to?
That is who I talked to, Amy Holton. She's from Chippewa Falls, and she talked about kind of why she was there. And they have these rallies. Chippewa Valley Indivisible hosts these rallies every week. So they marked the six month anniversary of having these rallies. And that's why they kind of did something a little bit different and more colorful. So this is Amy Holzum of Chippewa Falls talking about why she was there.
I'm here because I strongly believe in preserving our democracy. And I'm just astounded at what has happened to our country in the last 6 months. So I'm here to show support and get others to rally as well. And I'm hoping for a blue wave in 2026.
What are the things that affect you the most or that you're the most surprised about?
Oh boy. So rule of law is really important to me. My father was a police officer, and I'm just appalled at the pardons that Trump has given to criminals and what he's doing to immigrants that are not criminals. So, you know, I just feel strongly in the rule of law. That's what makes our country great. You know, it's what provides stability and makes people trust our country. And without it, you know, I think we're in tough shape.
Well, that's Amy Holzen of Chippewa Falls. And I like that she emphasized something beyond just the budget cuts. And believe me, the budget cuts are plenty of the protests, people's health care, people's nutrition benefits. But here in her case, she's actually looking out for others, for law and order, for the criminals being let loose and the immigrants who are being treated as criminals. And I'm sure you saw that kind of selflessness in other folks in the crowd as well, Selena. We're always told, oh, democracy is not the number one issue. People are worried about their wallets and everything. You know, it's still kind of important.
Well, and that was the thing too, because
along with the Wizard of Oz theme. It was, you know, the words of Glinda the Good Witch still hold true today. And that was kind of the sentiment that because Glinda said, and it was, you know, the rally is talking about coming together to fight for each other. And so Glinda says, "You've always had the power. You've had it all along, my dear." And so that was kind of the theme of helping each other out and banding together to kind of come together to fight all of these things.
Krista is our representative, Glinda. You can concur with those remarks. You talk to people who it's about the budget cuts for some people, but it's about taking care of each other for other people.
I think that for most people, they are tired of politics. They are tired of the rhetoric. They just want to live their lives. And that's why they're worried about the cost of goods and services, because that is real for them. And the whole democracy thing seems very tied up with politics. But the truth is, all of that political stuff is what makes prices higher, is what makes it harder to find a job, is what makes it more challenging to get an education. So it is important to engage in whatever way you can. And it's delightful to see things like this happening, where people don't have to be hardcore. They can be creative and fun, but still acknowledge, hey, this isn't what we have, what we want to see for the future of our country.
Well, especially when you consider that people look at others who protest and think, oh, they're just always angry about something, and that anger is the fuel for protests and demonstrations. And that's not necessarily so, that these are friends and neighbors who still have a sense of humor about things, but want to, you know, express a particular point of view. And this isn't the only example of that. There's also the example in, was it Superior? Where was it, Superior or Wausau? Gosh, I lost track now. For Congressman Tom Tiffany's office, where they tend to turn the lawn sprinklers at the office building for Tom Tiffany's office, just coincidentally seem to come on when there are protesters outside of Tiffany's office. And so one day they showed up in when the sprinklers came on, they took off their top layer, and there they were in swimsuits and flippers and snorkels and things like that, and turned it into a beach party, because you got to have a sense of humor about these things.
Yeah, they played beach music, had umbrellas, and they were ready, and they were dancing around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Art and joy and music will save us. Trust me. Lean into it.
Yeah. Along with compassion and empathy, we were reminded many times in the past few days that somebody referred to empathy as like some kind of a new age made up term. And I think that really didn't set well with people who are looking at the reactions of the past few days since the Charlie Kirk assassination and saying, you know, actually, it's right that we have empathy for one another. And that includes being against political violence, even against somebody that you didn't agree with. There's a lot that could be learned if empathy was a bit more of a quality of the people who are in power right now.
And it's right that we talk about it. I think mm-hmm. a lot of us are feeling very afraid to say anything because we're afraid to say the wrong things. But the truth is, we have to have these conversations, and they have to be from the heart, and we have to listen to each other, or we will not come to a place where there is a shared understanding.
That's right. Yeah, Sonia, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, it's that word. I remember putting that, I think, on last year's sheet on the Meet the Teacher Day. What do you want to make sure Emory, you know, learns this year or whatever? And one of those things that I put on there was empathy, and, you know, to look out for others and think about other people. And I hope that's what they're kind of relaying in school also.
Hope they do as well. Yeah, it's in shorter supply than it needs to be in this country these days, that's for sure. Let's take a look at sports here at 7:18. You had the Brewers playing the St. Louis Cardinals over the weekend, and they did clinch a place in the playoffs. So there will be postseason baseball for the Brewers, but there's still plenty to play for, because if they're currently, you know, best record in baseball, the top two records get a bye in the first round. And as we know, the Brewers have not done well in the first round of the playoffs. So if they could skip that wild card series and get right to the divisional series, that would be a good thing. So the magic number still stands at 8 to clinch the Central Division, but the Brewers are in the playoffs. They fell short yesterday 3-2 against the Cardinals, but they did win on Friday and Saturday. But as for yesterday, a couple of solo home runs by Caleb Durbin and Danny Jansen were all that they could muster.
The Brewers are off today, and they will be hosting the Los Angeles Angels coming up on Tuesday. Coverage begins tomorrow at 6:05 on several civic media stations. Head over to the website to learn more. Of course, the Packers were off yesterday because they'd won on Thursday. Their next game is next Sunday, September 21st at noon at Cleveland. And the Badgers were, they were walloped by Alabama 38-14. And they will next open the Big Ten season this coming Saturday, hosting Maryland. You'll hear that on several civic media stations as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local civic media radio station.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You've been listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH, The Buzz of the North. I'm Gray. She's Rachel. Here's what's happening in our backyard this morning up here in the Northwoods, Hayward and the surrounding areas. Good morning, Rachel. Thanks for joining us again today.
Good morning, Gray. Thanks, as always, for having me.
I'm going to ask you to just lean in a little bit. I project like an overhead that you took notes from in 2006, and I'm sorry about that. The people would love you if they could only hear you. There we go. I think we can.
I understand.
That should be a lot better, actually. Good. Okay, cool. And forgive me. It's always a good sign when the production work happens front stage. But that's honestly, I think that's part of who we are here on WBZH and elsewhere. If you haven't listened to Rachel and I before, in fact, we are co-workers in the Civic Media Network. But before that, we have a deep personal connection, you might say. We've been together, 7 years, mm-hmm. knocking on the doorstep. And yes, very certain pointed questions might come from that. But we like to play off of that a little bit. And don't worry, soon enough, that's the answer. Anyway.
He becomes a grumbly old groucher.
Hey now. So we like to just discuss a little bit of any and everything. And we were talking yesterday about what we should cover this morning. And you pointed out a topic that I didn't even realize was a reasonable topic. It was the experience of rewatching movies. And through the years, of course, you catch different parts, especially if there's a movie. If you've got a childhood favorite movie, and you've rewatched it, you know what we're talking about. That
Elsa, what is that? We'd love to hear.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You can find us, WBZH, The Buzz of the North, on Facebook. We'd love to hear. Send us your thoughts on a movie that really deserves a rewatch. And this all came to be because the other day we watched Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Now, I've for years had trouble keeping them apart, even though I grew up watching that old one. Willy Wonka's the first one. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is the newer one. The Johnny Depp one. I think that's Freddie Highmore. The guy who would go on to be the good doctor. That's a serious actor who's been doing it. Boy. But regardless, I digress. I think it was 1971 was the first one. Gene Wilder.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we rewatched that over the weekend, and while we were watching that, I was pretty stunned, honestly, because I've watched it. It doesn't feel like all that long ago, but for some reason, it was a real visceral experience. And for me, it was that experience of a movie I watched probably a couple hundred times as a kid, because we were the middle class as it used to exist. Yeah. And so we had a few things. We had the VCR, but we didn't just have an endless stream of new tapes to watch. And we may or may not have tested the record function on our VCR. And I'll leave that there. I think people know what I mean. So there was definitely pretty firm limits on the amount of media we could consume growing up. But I think for a lot of reasons that was better, because I ended up rewatching Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, The Land Before Time, The Night at the Museum when that was new was probably one of the... There were a few movies that we really just watched on repeat because it was that or nothing.
Yeah.
And there were definitely, like, we had the two tape set of Titanic, you know, there was some good stuff there.
Maybe
but
even Bambi. That's just a me thing.
Yeah, there were a few Disney movies lurking about our set too. And then when we turned like 12 or 13, we convinced mom or dad to let us watch things that we shouldn't have been watching at 12 or 13. Guys like Steve-O and Johnny Knoxville became idols long before they were ready to be anyone's idol, let alone before we were ready to pick our idols. But what an incredible experience I had rewatching Willy Wonka with you this weekend, because, and I was talking to Dad yesterday, you and I were hanging out with him doing some yard work over the weekend, and I pointed out that I didn't get the finer points of the plot, you know, like the actual ramifications of teleporting Mike TV through the air and like how, yeah, like how horrified these parents would be. Like, I didn't understand the true level of absurdity happening in the film at all. I mean, like the computer that says it would be cheating to tell, or the psychiatrist who bullies his patient about his, like, there are levels of humor and comedy that I still am not truly appreciating, I'm sure. But like what I told Dad yesterday was, I remembered all the pretty colors, you know, like the scenes in the beginning where the chocolate is on the production line and it's looking sticky, ooey gooey, delicious.
The vivid mushrooms.
I mean, I guess if you take nothing else from this, if you're thinking of a movie as I'm describing my experience with Willy Wonka, watch it. Don't wait. There's nothing I could sell you better than the nostalgia of the movie that's been waiting for you for a rewatch for the last decade. It hasn't been that long with Willy Wonka. I think it's every 5 years or so. You shouldn't let your favorites go unwatched for 5 years.
Yeah.
Because you'll grow a lot in that time, and your perspective will change, and what feels familiar will also feel different. And that combination is this salty, sweet thing that... Mm-hmm. Wow, and maybe it's because it's been such a beautiful fall weekend here in the Northwoods, too, that I was just in the right mood to be receptive to this. The funny thing was, when it's on Netflix, Willy Wonka is on Netflix right now. That's how we ended up stumbling into it. But when we pulled it up, we were halfway through. So at some point, and I know it since we've been together these last 7 years, we started it and didn't finish, or one of us did.
One of us did.
I'm betting it was me. I'm the starter, not finisher.
Once in a while.
Well, it does happen with you, but I don't know. I think I make it happen just as a product of how I roll. That again, if you take nothing else, rewatch the favorite. For me, it was Willy Wonka. There was another film, a science fiction comedy called Evolution, which does start to transcend the not as family friendly. What What should we rewatch? What should we rewatch from your history, Rachel?
I was going to pull out The Land Before Time, and you already had said it. So
we watched that not long ago.
Well, yes.
Well, I'll tell you what. We may discuss other movies and similar moments of nostalgia later in the hour. For now, this has been WBZH's local report on WBZH. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow continues, but you can carry the buzz with you. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow or us here on the WBZH from your smartphone with the Civic Media app. Free on the App Store or on Google Play or wherever else you might get your apps. For WBZH and Civic Media, I'm Greg Gunderson. She's Rachel Casey, and we'll be back later this hour with more of something.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Oh, commodity prices are getting squeezed at the farm gate, but there is one element that may at least remain flat. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. What is that element? Answer next.
From sugar beet fields to dairy facilities, producers count on an operating line of credit from Ag Country Farm Credit Services to help make their operations more profitable. With multi-year commitment options, digital tools and remote deposit, and the ability to only borrow what you need when you need it, our operating line of credit makes financing your needs easier. Visit agcountry.com/lineofcredit or call 800-450-9858 to learn more. Terms apply. See website for details.
One of the major expenses that farms look at during the harvest is diesel costs. Jason Schwantz is the Senior Vice President of Energy with CHS Cooperative. He said, well, supplies have been a little tight through the summer months because some refineries have been retooling. Now, he says, producers should hopefully be looking forward to a little bit lower, if not flat, costs. But he advises, buy early.
I think we're going to kind of be in this trough here. Fuel is a little more expensive, but from a year ago, it's actually down. So I think right now is actually a good time to buy. I think supply is going to get tighter as we go into that harvest because you're just going to have heavy, heavy demand. And from everything I've heard, there is an extremely good corn and soybean crop out there, which I think everybody is very happy about. I don't know that they're exactly happy about where the commodity prices are at, but hopefully we can have a bountiful harvest and have a really good crop out there. But it's going to take a lot of fuel to go over that crop.
That advice from Jason Schwantz, the Senior Vice President of Energy for CHS Cooperative. He said, well, some refineries did retool this summer. Others have yet to do their retooling. He said that's why they're bringing more supplies to the marketplace right now.
BioVet combines the latest research and technology to develop high-quality microbial and nutritional solutions for your operation. BioVet's innovative product line supports the immune system, digestive function, reproduction, along with growth and development of your livestock. Learn more at bio-vet.com and visit us at World Dairy Expo booth number EH1503 and 1504. EH1503 and 1504. Innovation,
that's BioVet. And today, Wisconsin Senator Pat Tested and Representative Scott Krug are introducing a bill that opens the doors for farmers and solar developers to work together locally to generate power that subscribers in Wisconsin can use. It also will give local towns and municipalities control over siting those projects. We'll keep you posted. That's a look at what's happening in food news for a Monday. More at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Pam Yonke.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
We may catch an isolated shower or thunderstorm later this morning or early this afternoon. Otherwise, partly cloudy today with a high in the mid-80s. The wind out of the southeast gusting to around 15 to 20. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms, then mostly cloudy. Mid to upper 60s tomorrow. Mostly sunny in the mid-80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend news and sports headlines and discuss Suicide Awareness Month and why the rates keep going up in the state of Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome back on this Monday morning, September 15th. Nice to have you here across the Civic Media Radio Network. We were mentioning earlier the Prime Rib Trail, story about that in this morning's newsletter. You can be sure to check that one out. There's also a story in there on how to apply for FEMA flood relief if you're in southeast Wisconsin, now that that disaster aid has been released. And a reminder that tomorrow is National Voter Registration Day. So it is a good reminder to maybe go check your own status at myvote.wi.gov. There's no election anytime soon, which means now you've got the time to get registered without all the pressure. Double check your registration, because sometimes voter files, you know, get cleaned up or modified. So Voter Registration Day is tomorrow. That reminder coming from our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. One group that is especially good at reminding you to get registered to vote and get up on the issues is Citizen Action. And Robert Craig is the executive director for Citizen Action of Wisconsin, citizenactionwi.org. Robert Craig, good morning. How are you?
I'm good under the circumstances. Always great to be with you, Pat.
I was going to say, that's kind of the evergreen answer since January. We completely understand that. And we, as part of our Movement Mondays, where we try to get in touch with all kinds of groups that are working to, you know, defend and enhance democracy and focus on all kinds of issues. I mean, Exhibit A has to be Citizen Action in terms of, you know, choosing those high priority issues and educating voters about them. There is, let's start with climate, because you actually have an event coming up that's related to the climate, which to me seems quite appropriate, given that if there's been one, well, there've been many themes from the current administration, but one of them is certainly dealing with not just denying that we have a changing climate, but being hostile to it and doing everything possible to kill the march toward a new generation of jobs and clean energy, and instead go back to as much, you know, coal and oil and fossil fuels as possible. And Citizen Action is among the groups saying, you know, on behalf of a majority of Americans, not so fast. So what's going on?
Well, there are mobilizations all over the country, actually. Some are calling it Sunday. So you're absolutely right. The science doesn't change, and this is a supermajority position. Most people think that there is a climate crisis and believe we should do something and take the action directed. Though the small group that is very loud of climate deniers, and then you have a government currently at the federal level, which is completely captive to the fossil fuel interests and seems to think somehow that making America great again means going to a dirty, more expensive fossil fuel economy that is increasingly outmoded. There's not only the question of we need to reduce emissions in order to create a world that is livable for our children and where the beautiful environment we love in Wisconsin is preserved. But frankly, solar energy in particular has become so inexpensive and is exploding so much all over the world what this administration is actually doing is doing something more expensive, also causes a lot of pollution that causes a lot of health problems, lung cancer and asthma, and will increasingly increase people's utility bills that are increasingly unaffordable. That's why you saw Xcel Energy in the western part of the state asking for a 19% increase from the Public Service Commission. And so the Wisconsin Climate March is on September 30th. We're part of a large coalition of environmental groups that are pushing it. It's not only Citizen Action as an initiative. So this is very much a joint project in Madison. And Citizen Action members around the state are going to be joining many others who care about this issue. And where we are, Pat, is we can't stop this administration for the next few years doing what it's going to do. But it doesn't change the science. It doesn't change the fact that we, to prevent runaway climate change, need to cut emissions in half by 2030. That's 5 years from now. It simply puts the onus on state government and local government. And so as we go into this last legislative session of before a big elections that could change, that could, and elections that will determine who the governor is and who controls the legislature, it's critical to make this a key agenda item for a new legislature, because it doesn't, the science doesn't change, and the fact that the federal government's doing the reverse of what it should be doing cannot stop us from addressing this situation.
We're talking to Robert Craig from Citizen Action, and one of the measures you're talking about there is called the Climate Accountability Act. It would require the legislature to pass a concrete and enforceable plan to cut greenhouse gas emissions in half by 2030. And maximize the economic benefits for all Wisconsin residents. And Citizen Action puts it to its members quite clearly. Does your state legislator support it? And go ahead and call and ask. Ask your state senator, ask your state assembly rep if they support something this concrete, this tangible, to get us off of fossil fuels and into a new direction. Which really comes to the heart of what Citizen Action is about, is asking questions and sharing information. Sometimes it's through deep canvassing at the doors, but sometimes it's just asking pointed questions of your legislators instead of just waiting for the speeches and the press releases, is to say, hey, where do you come down on this? It's a very direct method that Citizen Action has to when it comes to information and education, right?
Yeah, you put it very well, Pat. We're trying to create clear issues for people so you can understand what is taking serious action on the climate crisis and what isn't, because frankly, that gets muddled and muddied in legislative politics and by both parties, quite frankly. And so there was actually a lot of resistance, even among Democrats and some progressives, introducing the Climate Accountability Act, as we worked at, on it with our members across the state and our organizing cooperatives and with allied legislators. But once it was released earlier this year, Pat, it quickly drew 33 co-sponsors, including a lot of moderates. And it's all it does is it requires the state to do what is scientifically minimally necessary to prevent runaway climate change, which is have a plan to cut emissions in half. Divisions tend to come once you talk about what the plan is. And what we wanted to do is get out of that and say, look, if we agree we have to achieve the outcome, then we have to get serious in a legislative session. And so this says by the end of the next legislative session, there will be an accountable, enforceable plan, and the legislature has to figure it out, and a governor has to figure it out. And so we're continuing to roll this out across the state in different regions and try to build support beyond 33. But what we've learned is that if let's say the legislature changes hands, that'll be a big fight in 2026. Let's say you have a Democratic quote unquote trifecta, that is Democratic state assembly, state senate, and governorship. It's our experience, and this is what happened when the 2 years Democrats had full control in the 21st century, a decade and a half ago. If the agenda isn't already set, the legislature won't actually reach agreement, even if it's a Democratic legislature. So this is trying to set a bold agenda that will actually address our major problems, climate crisis being one of the major ones. But of course, there are others, like our funding and education, like the healthcare crisis.
Or like the one I was going to bring up next, the Hospital Accountability Act, because again, hospital monopolies can actually threaten a community's health. And so once again, Citizen Action has a Hospital Accountability Act, and asking, Does your state legislator support that? What is it that people should know about hospital monopolies and the way that they impact Wisconsin healthcare?
Well, we need to understand that, speaking of the science, the research is overwhelming that the primary driving reason for healthcare inflation, which is, I mean, healthcare is so unaffordable, people, that most people with, over half of people with insurance are skipping care. They have insurance, but they don't think they can afford the co-pays, deductibles, and all the surprise medical bills, because you never know what the bill is going to be after any significant medical interaction. That makes them sicker, and they don't get the care and preventive care they need. Wisconsin in the 1980s deregulated the hospitals. The hospital association, their trade association, said the market will take care of it. We used to regulate how much they can charge, just like utilities. Energy utilities have to get their rates approved. Often we think the government commission, the PSC, approves rate increases they shouldn't, but at least there's an approval process, not true with hospitals. And then the other thing is that they used to be able to have to get approval to build new expensive things, new hospitals, new facilities, to make sure that it was actually needed and wouldn't increase prices. We got rid of both those regulations. They've consolidated and become even bigger and bigger monopolies, and they've dramatically increased prices so much that in Wisconsin, we have the highest hospital cost in the Midwest and the fifth highest in the country. And they're more than triple what is charged to Medicare, which is a sufficient rate in our wonderful Medicare system. And so we've been working with Senator Jeff Smith, a good friend of yours from the western part of the state, Eau Claire, and a lot of the rural areas south and west of Eau Claire, and hope to introduce that this fall. But it would restore regulation of what the price is, and it would also restore state approval to build expensive new facilities. And it would therefore approve them if you're building facilities in underserved areas, like rural areas that have lack of hospitals, lack of birthing centers, et cetera, and urban areas like in Central City, Milwaukee. And you would not be able to build duplicative stuff just to get more market share and make more profit, and then raise all of our prices. So we hope to be introducing that soon. We hope that there'll be, just like with the Climate Accountability Act, a lot of support for that. By the way, by doing that, you could also free up a lot of money to put into the Medicaid system, Pat, that would actually help mitigate the horrible cuts that are coming down the road because of Donald Trump's big, ugly bill.
And also there's one about utility costs and a note that says that legislators should consider a 2% income cap on utilities. In other words, no one should be paying more than 2% of their income for utilities. Ask your state legislators if they support that as well. And that too, in a way, comes back to, again, market control, monopolies. Are you working for the shareholders or are you working for your customers? Again, a common theme from Citizen Action.
Yeah, I was just talking about the hospital monopolies. Utility monopolies, they have a legalized monopoly. They're the only ones that can provide power within a service region. And they've used it to block renewable energy people can control, like rooftop solar, unless you have the money to get a loan yourself, and that's middle and upper middle class people who think to do it and figure it out. And energy conservation measures that would reduce the amount of energy we use. We have a vast amount of energy conservation we could do with commercial and residential buildings that hasn't been done. We're just wasting energy because utilities make profit, Pat, by selling more of it and building huge, large plants, especially fossil fuel plants, that they can securitize, that's through Wall Street, another financial arrangement, in order to make a massive capital investment profit over a 40-year period. They're building far more of this capacity, which is expensive and raises all our rates than we need. It also hurts the climate, and it also causes pollution that harms people. And so this changes the incentives, and this is being drafted as well. It says that you are going to pay more if people are paying far too high a rate for their utilities. And 2% is a reasonable amount that people can afford at any income level. Middle, upper middle class people pay around that now. Low income people pay much more, 15, 20%, and they can't afford that. Then they can't pay rent.
So that, I mean, and there's so many more options that we didn't even get into. There's the Badger Care public option. There's a $20 minimum wage. All that and more Citizen Action will be working on in the fall legislative session. So, Robert, I hope you just come back and we can talk about more of that in the future. Robert Craig from Citizen Action of Wisconsin. Thank you, sir. Good to talk to you as always.
Great. Always a pleasure, Pat. You're a real pro. Always great to talk to you.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much. Jocasta Zamarripa, candidate for Wisconsin Secretary of State, is coming up in our 8 o'clock hour. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Hi, my name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires. I'm also the author of a new book, Burned by Billionaires, How Concentrated Wealth and Power Are Ruining Our Lives and Planet. This summer proved to all of us that climate change is real and it is deadly. And I'm here to tell you that a small group of billionaires are making it worse. Did you know that billionaire Jeff Bezos' wife, Lauren Sanchez, emitted more carbon in her 11-minute Blue Origin space flight than the average person emits in a lifetime? Did you know that the average super yacht produces as much carbon emissions as 1,500 regular vehicles? And that private jets emit 10 to 20 times more pollutants per passenger than commercial airplanes? So who should pay for climate change? People like you who recycle and turn off the lights when you leave the room, or billionaires who take joyrides in space? Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Back now from WBZH, the Buzz of the North, on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Gray here with Rachel Casey. Hello again.
Hello again.
We've been talking about movies and nostalgia today because I stumbled into more than I expected when we watched Willy Wonka over the weekend. Now, we talked about me that whole time. So what you mentioned The Land Before Time. What were your formative movie experiences? I know, I mean, if I didn't know anything about your movie past, I would still guess Bambi was a formative experience for you.
Oh yeah.
That's you.
Mm-hmm. I am Bambi.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. That's not a bad way to look at it. Mm-hmm. What else? What? Tell me about your movie history. What do you think when you think about your movie past?
I think of this one that I can't think of the name of with a horse that jumped off, like a girl rode this horse and jumped it off a diving platform.
All right, I'll be Googling quickly.
Yes, please. Thank you.
What do you remember about this one?
It just had some like really good life lesson type stuff, and I don't know why I started.
I don't know why you needed that either. The accent, you probably just offended a third of our listening audience.
So sorry.
I'm trying to like, I decided to Google this, and so in so doing, handed you, no pun intended, I handed you the reins for a second
yes,
here, and I thought
and
she
I
can handle
too
this.
Far. I'm so
and you
sorry,
immediately,
y'all.
You immediately whipped out a weird accent. Mm-hmm. Okay, well,
it's something like Heartbreaker or something. Something.
Okay, well, I'm afraid.
Anyway,
the internet's not even cooperating, yeah. So we're gonna have to leave that. There's people shouting at the radio right now for several reasons.
I believe she was disabled in some way, and this kind of showcased her. Like, it was kind of like an Olympics type. Performance.
Okay. So competitive performance.
It was just very inspirational.
And against all odds kind of thing.
Yeah. Like not in that super cliche way either. But
now this was a kid's movie?
Yeah.
Okay. Now
yeah.
You can tell I definitely don't have many horse movies
right.
under my belt. Those are definitely a thing. Is that something you had a lot of? I know
that
Spirit.
That was kind of the one. Spirit. Oh, God. I forgot all about Spirit. Yeah, you're right. Spirit. I guess it was more of a thing than I'm realizing.
When we found the Spirit DVD, was that your Spirit DVD or my Spirit DVD? Like, we were going through one of our collections, that box that's still at our parents' house. Mm-hmm. And for one of us, that box that's still at our parents' house contained a Spirit DVD. And I remember you were quite excited about that.
Very, very, very.
So you had at least two horse movies.
Yeah. You're right.
Were you very into horses in general?
No, not really. It was more animals. I think they
right.
snuck their way in because of that.
Well, and I mean, at the end of the day, horses are indeed just gorgeous,
yes.
like all of creation
and
at
the
end
of the
day.
Freedom associated with them. It's
right.
Very...
Yes. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to be loved there. But like, what else do you think of? Is that you can't just think of horses on platforms and movies you can't name.
No.
You've got to at least be
well,
able
Lord
to
Lord of
name...
the Rings and such was obviously a big formative one for me.
Well, obvious to me, but not to everybody listening. Tell them why.
That's true. Lord of the Rings.
So Lord of the Rings does not strike me as the kind of thing you would have seen a lot of growing up, simply because it's not the kind of thing your parents necessarily encouraged.
Oh, yeah, it was because it was Lord of the Rings.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Which, of
J.R.
course, as
Tolkien.
Many people know, Tolkien did yes. base that heavily on biblical... on scripture. He did.
Yes.
He was very open about that fact, indeed. In fact, I think there are quite a few recordings of him saying similar things.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly plenty of writing of his own to support
right.
that. But it was basically the Bible and his wife,
mm-hmm.
who he loved more than, I mean, she is, if there's a beautiful woman in Lord of the Rings and you hear her beauty described, he's thinking about his wife. He's made that pretty plain too. So, okay, that's accidentally, for different reasons, that's a pretty broad spectrum of media from Disney to Lord of the Rings.
Right.
Some people might argue that there's quite a bit of overlap there, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't disagree. But I love how much variety comes from that one perspective on it. You know, the nothing sanitary necessarily, though Disney obviously is in that in their heyday they were quite inoffensive.
Mm-hmm.
But also there's some grit. Lord of the Rings is real.
Yes.
I mean, and it's also got some things that, while not discouraged, are not super encouraged,
mm-hmm.
which I mean like men showing tenderness with each other, crying
right.
and showing emotion, kissing each other on the brow. And, you know, kind of apropos of nothing, I'm reminded of a story of men in Europe, specifically England and Ireland, who will sometimes kiss each other on the forehead,
mm-hmm.
especially if they're longtime drinking pals.
Mm.
Lord of the Rings comes to mind. It's like, there's some really good examples of just comfort and a form of masculinity that I think is not necessarily the American way. But not
yeah.
necessarily for bad reasons. You know, we didn't avoid that for bad reasons. We just came about it a different way on this side of the pond and,
mm-hmm.
and ended up embracing a different type of masculinity, neither of them being more or less correct. I just think that a little of both is probably the way that I want to live anyway, which I've robbed this from you again. Do you have any other franchises that like what?
TV shows come to mind, honestly, a lot more like Arthur. Like that was like as a kid, Arthur was my stuff.
Really?
Like, oh my gosh.
So DW was like a role model for you growing up. You wanted to get in. So only child.
Sassy and great.
Right. Yeah. You didn't have anybody to bounce that kind of attitude off of, mm-hmm. except for your parents. And that, I mean, not super disciplinarians, but I mean, you're the only child there. Being sassy might not be the move, unless. But I'm sure you had your moments. What's your sassy memory? What when you think of that time? Like, I know you've got something lurking in the back of your mind. That thing you regret saying. What was it? We've got just enough time for that kind of story. And I love the left turn that we've slowly taken here over the last few minutes.
Honestly, there's too many. I can't.
Oh, you got in trouble a lot?
Not a lot, but my dad did call me a brat quite a bit.
See, I know that there will be people who are like, what? He called her what? It was like, you've got to leave it to each person to, with their body language, tell you how to feel about stories like that. I mean, like, if you're a stand-up comedian on stage, like, therapizing in front of your audience, like, that can be pretty funny and for different reasons because it's like, yeah, we need to off-gas this. But, like, no, you can tell that it didn't scar.
It was what it was. Guys.
Right? Like, it's just like, you know what? You learn about the world when you see that side of your parents. It's, whoa! Mm-hmm. It teaches you a lot. Well, one way or the other, thank you, Rachel. You've been listening to WBZH's Local Report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Keep your finger on the pulse in Hayward with the Civic Media app or with the website WBZH.fm. For the Buzz of the North, I'm Gray. She's Rachel.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Police continue looking into clues linking 22-year-old Tyler Robinson to Charlie Kirk. Robinson turning himself in the evening after Kirk's murder. Here's ABC's Matt Gutman.
Authorities in Utah are poring over what they call a mountain of evidence against 22-year-old Tyler Robinson. The man authorities say fired that single fatal shot, killing Charlie Kirk. The district attorney saying they hope to file charges by tomorrow, but authorities say they're receiving little help from the suspect, who turned himself in Thursday.
There was a memorial service for Charlie Kirk last night at the Kennedy Center. Vice President J.D. Vance substituting for Charlie Kirk today on Kirk's talk show, expected to start at noon on the streaming platform Rumble. Secretary of State Marco Rubio on a two-day trip to Israel as the IDF intensifies its attacks on northern Gaza, flattening high-rise buildings, killing at least 13. Venezuela accusing the U.S. of illegally boarding one of its fishing boats in search of drugs, which were not found.